jemand auf den Tod, dass dies Leben nicht vor uns und die Kraft von einer Kollegin beschließen wird. Please grab anything if you want some coffee in order to wash that. Turn around is 9:30 and our committee is actually at 9:30 and the president and the tutors have been here. So I don't think that we will be waiting. I need that must be business like. Good morning everyone and everybody. Honorable members, today we have our presentation, Pastor. Thank you so much, Pastor, that we are here again and we are pleased with the committee that we did receive the document 2 weeks ago. The only thing that we have asked you to add on is your annual report. We are expecting you to your strategic plans, your Commonwealth Games, your Youth Olympic Games, you know that you will change. Update. We need an update to staff and athletics. And then annual report. So I'm taking the opportunity to say that with this one other time that we were part of our studies of the committee. You contributed and you were very happy. If you were not there, we were going to have some gaps. President, the time is for you and your team. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Honorable Madam Chair, Honorable Members. It's probably appropriate to apologize for my absence at the last call by the Honorable Chair and the committee to appear here. I had an operation, a coronal operation, and I've not flying for Sofia, and my deputy president took in for me. But Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, maybe also to clarify the position of President in our organization.
Yes, ma'am.
Madam Chair, you will recall that some years ago, the government instituted the pickup commission for and that pickup commission and inquiry was very clear. Presidents are not in hand. So I do want to appeal that sometimes, you know, we battle to have not full time getting to shape, but we try our very best at all times to get here. And I think in the past, the members who have been here will recall that we have all the time tried to get here to come and bridge here. Having said that, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, let me then once again restate the context of all our presentations at this committee. It is important that we understand the context of when we come here before you, what is it that we need to talk about, and then allow you to ask the other questions that we may not have touched. Honorable Members, when we had our Indaba in 2011, it was made very clear as to the demarcation or the role of responsibilities of the sport structures in the country. It was made very clear that you as the coordinating body of sport in the country, that is SASCOC, you will look at operation excellence, and that is high performance. Work on high performance, prepare the athletes, present the athletes at all these high competitions, your Olympics, your African Games, your Commonwealth Games, and so on. The second portion of that, and I'll get the detail in later, the second portion was that you as self-coach make sure that from the grassroots level, we have coaches up to the top. You must have coaches, otherwise the whole thing of transformation and whatever is not going to be a reality, because we miss the majority of youngsters who should be coming into sport at that level, ground level, because they don't have the coaches. So it was our task to go out there, and we can give you an update as to what we've done as far as that is concerned. The third portion was that the structure of South African sport lagged a little bit. We need to make sure that within the provinces we have proper structures. And to that extent, we are in constant contact with our honorable MECs for sport, arts and culture in the various provinces. So Madam Chair, when we arrive here, honorable members, that is what we want to talk about. Then there will be issues that plug into the overall context that we need to come and report on. So let me just, before I give over to my managers, let me just sketch that again. So in order to achieve the mandate of SASCOC out of the Sports in Durban and the National Sports and Recreation Plan, which you as honorable members agreed to in Parliament, this is where we are. We have to work with other stakeholders to ensure that we achieve the goal that we want to achieve as a country in terms of sport. And those stakeholders are all our universities, all our academies, all the people who contribute towards sport. We must make sure that we coordinate activities so that we're not all over the place in terms of what we need to do. So we liaise closely. And to ensure that liaison is not just here nationally, it is also on the continent. We've just entertained Zambia now to talk to Zambia in terms of how we do things and how they can learn from us and how we can learn from them. And on the 14th of this month, we will have Uganda coming here and we will have those exchange programs. We also have these programs internationally. So we are plugged into Taiwan, we're plugged into China, we're plugged into Germany. So we have those kind of relationships. You will also, honorable member of chair, the Ukraine, forget about the wars that are going on there. Sport is carrying on. Two of their top coaches will be coming into the country to assist us, and they will be in Secunda, they will be down here in Cape Town, and they will be in KwaZulu-Natal to help Athletic South Africa with their programs in athletics. So you see that when we say we plug into all our stakeholders, that's what we do. Our second leg of what we try to achieve as a coordinating body is to raise funds. We must make sure that we always have the funds. You will hear that the biggest complaint that you have among the athletes in this country is that we don't have money. SASCOC is not giving us money. Can I explain that now? SASCOC is not the bank for athletes. Because our own funding is from Olympic Solidarity. They give us a grant which helps us with our administration. That comes from the International Olympic Committee. The Lotto, our biggest funder, is the Lotto which helps us with all our programs and presentations. Sport Recreation of South Africa through your budget vote, agreeing to the budget vote of the minister, and then also from our own effort. Through, we have a magazine, you've seen our magazine. It's internationally acclaimed. I must tell the honorable members, I can boast about that. We have one of the best magazines at SASCOC. If you go to our embassies and our missions, you'll find copies of our magazine there. Now that magazine, in some way, we get some money out of it. Then we are also in the olden days, honorable members, we took a stake in Pumelela, the horse racing business. And every year, we get something like 2.5, 2.7. That money we give to our athletes who are studying, so that at least they can carry on. So you will see in our report the number of athletes who have benefited from that bursary scheme that comes out of that money. We don't use it for administration. We put it aside in the ring fence for the bursary. So when that's the second leg, our funding and so on. Now, normally when I stand up and I talk, I always say that it is not enough. Funding is never enough for sport. You will know that, coming from a various province. And then, of course, our structures. Madam Chair, I need to explain also the whole thing of structure. We must always remember that we are a coordinating body. We are coordinating about 70 to 74 independent federations. Independent in the sense that they belong to international bodies and they've got their rules and regulations that govern them. So sometimes we are conflicted. If, because the issue that you want to raise later is SAFA, if we go too deep into SAFA, Seth Blatter tackles us. And it doesn't just tackle us as a body, but he also gets close to government and says, we are interfering. So I always want people to understand that we can go as ASCOC so far, then we hand over to Sport and Recreation South Africa, and after that it is up to the international bodies. Let me give you an example. Bodybuilding in this country had a problem. There were those who were claiming that it is too wide, we backs are not giving an opportunity and so on. So we went into this bodybuilding. And the infighting continued and we decided that the best thing is to do is talk to the international president of bodybuilding. And we met with him and he said, no, your issue is very simple. Tell ABC to do this. And today we've got bodybuilding in order. So I do want to understand that we follow a certain process. Due process must be followed with a checker. A second example, Athletics South Africa. Athletics South Africa has been to this committee for many times. And until such time that I had to sit down with the president of the international body, Lamin Dia, it's only then that we got a resolution for athletics. Because he said, I will not recognize this body if it is not according to that. And so we had our friend Thierry coming into the country, conducting elections, and the elections they got Alex Kosana as the president. So we go from there into the area of the provinces, and in each of the provinces we've got our confederation, and this confederation oversees the provincial federations. And from there, the next step where we are now, where I will really request the honorable members to keep an eye on, is what is happening in your district. Because we are now at that stage where we are instructing our federations to look, do they play netball in the district of Vembe? So that we can go back to the president of netball and say, why is there no netball in the district of Vembe? There are 52 districts and metros, and we have now at our last council meeting given instruction that you shall go to every district and be... Now, some of them will not be possible. You will not get equestrians, not the horse riding. In 52 districts and metros. So we are aware of that, and the way we support our federation is to say that, tell us why you can't get in there, and then we talk to the MEC of that province, and we talk to the districts, and we make sure that we get that support into that. So that's in a nutshell, because I know that there's quite a lot of information that we need to share, but in a nutshell, that's the context against which we come and report here. So the honorable members, really when we are here, you can ask us questions around those key areas. What are you doing with our performance? If we go to Rio and we come back with 2 medals, you have to call us back and say, what went wrong? How can you bring 2 medals? You are supposed to do high performance and you are supposed to support our athletes. That is, if our coaching structures collapse in this country, you are supposed to call us and say, why don't we have coaches at these various levels? If we have poor structures in the various provinces, the districts. If you go to the Free State, there are 5 districts in the Free State. And already, I think in about 4, they've got district academies. That's where we want to be. We want to be at the point where in each of the districts, there is an academy that can pick up the children at that early stage and support them. So this is, it goes on and off. So this is where it is, against that kind of background that we were. As I stand here, I must promise you what is possible in the real. And how do I do that? I look at what the federations are giving me. So when you open our website and you see performances like Chad Lacoste, and you see performances like Makoka in Shanghai, and then we start kicking off and say, we are getting closer. We must look after that one. We must look after that one. Because that is our role. So as I stand in front of you, the focus, if you were to call me in February, I will report only one thing, and that is the road to Rio. How do we look like preparing to get medals in Rio? Then the other levels will be the level of what is happening in the provinces, and we'll give you a report on that. Because remember that there are areas where we can only go so far. So if a federation says we don't have infrastructure, our role is to meet with SAUDA, which we have done. And they are now in the process of signing an agreement between us and them so that we can assist our federation with infrastructure. I want to pause at this point, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, but I can take on just the context of what my two managers are going to present. I'll take questions on that aspect. Thank you.
Thank you, President, for cooking up. Again, we have fallen somebody pass on yesterday. They will rise for a family. May his soul rest in peace.
May his soul rest in peace.
President, you have opened the mosque, which I'm suspecting that your staff will be taking revenues. And honorable members in the guests, it was not a good weekend. I know that our boxer, female, we have made her rest in peace. Our Ugazi, rest in peace, and Selma Mayo. I'm suspecting that the nation is losing very precious people nationally and internationally. It's not going to be easy to just forget them. The pain is still there. You know, when you went and buried somebody, you will be thinking that now it's better because they have done what is supposed to be done. But seemingly, every now and then, when you go wherever, will remember themselves, thinking that this one, you're supposed to have a medal. Can you feel? When we're going to have Bafana again, I pray to God that we must be very strong as South Africans and make God and help us that one and the goalkeeper will be available in order that we must achieve what the President is just saying. I'm suspecting that, President, we do have questions. Your question is very interesting. Because what they are saying and what they are going to present will assist this committee. They are saying that since June we have been saying we want to see transformation in this committee. We'll be firing questions in order that we must be aware of your role and are achieving what you have just outlined. And if not, what came together a joke, let alone that we cannot have cultures, but if you don't have them, what is the problem? Our role is oversight, and this oversight, because sport also to give some few rents to you, that's why we are thinking that we've got a right to call and ask you what, where are you and what are you doing and what are your obstacles, and maybe we need to contribute. And with those words, anyone from your team must start to brief us, but we have said a mouthful in your briefing notes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, for giving us the opportunity to present again. We presented the Commonwealth report at the last meeting, however, we'll touch on it briefly again for the sake of the members who are not here or in terms of our table being able to now engage on the issues. In terms of the Commonwealth Games, as you know, we came back with gold medals. And one of the issues that we normally do as part of preparation is the sport-specific meeting that we normally have with the federations in terms of the one-on-ones, where we discuss selection policies so that everyone understands what the selection policy is. And in terms of Commonwealth Games, it was agreed, even from 2011, when we engaged with the federations in terms of coming up with a general selection policy for the country, leading into 2012 and beyond. However, the sport-specific policies for each and every games, we agreed that Commonwealth will be top five in Commonwealth, not in the world. So we had faith, obviously, with some of the federations, others believing that it should be top eight, but eventually we did agree that it has to be top five for us to be able to be competitive at Commonwealth level. In terms of the meetings, what we also request the federations to provide us with is the preparation plan, because we need to understand how they're preparing going into the games and which athletes they're looking at that they believe will deliver medals at the games, and also the challenges that they are facing. One of the key issues that we always do for each and every games that we deliver at SASCOC is we sign a memorandum of understanding with the federation, which actually outlines the rules of engagement in terms of what is SASCOC responsible for and what the federations are responsible for. And the key issue here is that federations are responsible for the preparation of the athletes, their own athletes, in terms of the training camps, in terms of competitions that they need to go to in terms of preparing for the games. However, we do assist there and there with whatever grants that we receive from the Commonwealth Games Federation. In terms of the team, these are the 15 sports that qualify in terms of going into the games. And out of those, when you look at the results, it's only about 10 that actually got medals. Some of those federations didn't receive any medals. And those are some of the issues that now, we started the one-on-one going into Rio de Janeiro, and we ask those questions in terms of what went wrong, what can we do to intervene to ensure that people try and qualify for Rio, because we were looking at the selection policies and they're very tough. Some of the sports have started the qualification process leading to Rio, however, next year, August, September, becomes the critical time, because that's when most of the world championships are taking place, and that would be the qualification period. In terms of the team size, those are the statistics that we actually had finally in terms of 187 athletes that we had, and the total team contingent was about 253 people that went to the Commonwealth Games. That includes the coaches, the general team management, the medical team, and obviously the court managers. Those are the people that represented the country. And in terms of the summary, which was one of the issues that were raised by the committee members, is that in terms of their demographics, we only had about 60% black representation and obviously 69% white representation. And this is purely based on people that is qualified, because if you look at the number of people, we have more athletes than obviously the officials. And where we try and balance the ratios is around the general team management and medical team, where SASCOC has a direct selection. The officials, in terms of coaches, we cannot really interfere with that, because if athletics is, these are our best coaches that will be able to take the team with to the Commonwealth Games. We can't then interfere in terms of the selection of those coaches. In terms of logistics and operations, as SASCOC, these are the main issues that we directly are responsible for in terms of their local flights and international flights, their accommodation, meals, ground transport, at the holding camp. So we bring them all together from wherever they are in the country to a holding camp, because we need to ensure that everyone is at a holding camp. And we also do medical screening. That's one of the policies which we've instituted from the previous games, where everyone that is part of the team has to undergo medical screening so that we know that we're taking fit and injury free athletes to the game. And now the officials as well are expected to undergo medical screening. So there's a form that they fill in, and the medical team, in particular the chief medical officer, will analyze that form to actually ensure that that particular official is fit to go with to the game, so that we don't have any complication where either someone has got a heart condition or anything that we may not be able to deal with on that side. Then obviously the headgears and the apparel, all the generic clothing, competition clothing and the formal wear, SASCO is responsible for providing that to the entire team. In terms of the final result, we had anticipated that we'll get about 15 gold, however we were too short, and we got 13 gold medals. Then the silver, we got 10, and then the bronze, we got a lot of bronze, 17, and in total we had the 14 medals. That was our Commonwealth performance. And even though yes, there is a debate to say yes, you wanted to be in the top five, we did an analysis at the office in prior going to the games whereby we knew that Scotland is going to be a challenge. They were hosting, they were able to field more athletes than us, and they actually surpassed us at the games, including India as well. Because one of the analyses we did is that India purely focuses on shooting. That's where they get most of their medals. And that's one of the things as well we are now doing as a country to say, whilst we know that we are stronger in swimming, we're stronger now in rowing and in athletics, but which particular event? If we are stronger in the 800 meters as a country, how do we then unearth talent in that particular discipline or event to make sure that we've got more athletes coming through? At the moment, we've got about four guys in the long jump that we can fill. So that's where we are stronger, and we know that then we need to develop athletes in particular discipline to be able to move forward. Then in terms of incentives for all the games, that is the senior games. For the junior games, we do not give incentives at such cost, even though government for the African Youth Games did give incentives. But for our senior teams, we have given incentives, and the athletes got 40 for gold, and that is split obviously with the coaches, where the coach who produced the gold medalist got 10,000 rand, and then silver was 20,000, bronze was 10,000. So one of the debates, obviously, when we go to Rio, the money will be more like we did with London, because we look at the various games in terms of if it's the Olympics, if it's the Paralympics, if it's the Commonwealth Games, then obviously the allocation is different.
Are you
done? I'd like to, Madam Chair, you have to guide us in terms of where we stop and so on, but we can give you developments on some of the issues that you'd like to hear. And the next one is Let South Africa.
Honourable members, the briefing from the president, I'm suspecting that you'd love to interact with it together with this last presentation, in order that after that, we'll be coming to the preparation and performance of common games. I have your hands, or do you want that we must wait, that I must not give you to ask questions, that they must present all the things which are in the agenda. I'm suspecting that the gist of us things are on the briefing and the last speaker. I need the ideas, what do you want to do? Honorable Strike.
They can present and then we'll ask questions.
Okay. Is the committee agreeing with this proposal? Yes, right. Yes, Honourable Manner. Honourable Visitors, go on. According to your agenda, you do have agenda in front of you. The 3.1 preparation, that's the one that's and then the 3.2 development in Athletics South Africa, who present printed us, but we need a full profile.
Okay.
That's where we are now.
Okay. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, let me deal with the issue of Athletics South Africa. It's been long in the making, and I can now report to you that we've got a fantastic president in Mr. Alex Kosana. who is very, very keen to get the issues around athletics. Even an honorable chair, I'm looking around the table here to see who was running with me in the Soweto Marathon, and I don't seem to see anybody that I saw in the field, but anyway, maybe next year. Maybe next year. On Sunday, I interacted again with the president of Athletics South Africa, very upbeat about what is happening. And as I said to you earlier on, you know, we are expecting some assistance from Ukraine in terms of field events so that we improve our javelin, our discus, and our shot put, and our hammer throwing. But to put the house at ease, it's been a long journey since the days of Caster Semenya, because that is what started the issues around athletics of Africa. We are now at a point where we can say that after interacting with the International Federation of Athletics and President, a friend of South Africa, Mr. Lamine Diack, we have now achieved what this country has been looking for, and that is fair and free elections in athletics South Africa. And where we are now is that now they are grappling with what every federation that is not football, rugby or cricket is battling with, finance. I know that we are all assisting Mr. Skosana to get on even keel in terms of finances, because that is going to be the big issue. And the biggest one, maybe the honorable members can assist us with, is the appointment of a person who is going to have oversight of all our athletes in this country. Remember, in athletics, athletes have got their managers and they've got their coaches. But we need within the offices of Athletics South Africa a person to coordinate that, so that we never have an athlete that is outside our parameters in terms of preparing that athlete. Because what has happened in the past, honorable members, is that when we're just about to select the best team for South Africa, we discover that athlete is injured, or that athlete is hiding an injury. But if we have, as we have it in swimming, with Mr. Graham Hill, he keeps an eye on every top swimmer in this country. And he can report as to what is happening. And so, the point where we are now in Athletics South Africa is to find enough resources to appoint that person. And that's the person who's going to have oversight on all our athletes. So he or she will be able to call in the athletes and the coaches and the technical people and ask them, what are your needs? What do we need to do? And so on. But baseline for where we are now in Athletics South Africa is that funding is going to be the big challenge. We need to try as much as we possibly can to assist them with funding. Now, when it comes to the issues of delivering teams, we normally step in the SASCO, even though we are not cash flush. We try and assist federations that are going through a thin patch to get their athletes to competitions, because it will be a disaster or a disgrace for this country not to send athletes to big competition because that particular federation is not having money. So I can comfortably say to you now, relax. We are now on track. You saw how they performed at the Commonwealth Games. They really contributed to the medal challenge that we've got. And there's exciting challenge within Athletics South Africa, and we're going to work on that. And my prediction is that at least 4 medals in Rio should come from athletics. Once they do that, and swimming put us another 3 or 4, then we're on track for, I'm not going to say the number this time, how many we are looking for, but then we're on track, because I don't want to come back and say, God, you said 12, now you bring us half a dozen. This time around, I'm going to be very careful, but that is what we are planning now. Help Athletics South Africa to present to us, and you heard, is there a report here, 4 of the top long jumpers in this country. We've got very good long jumps. So if we look after them, at least two of them will can't qualify at World Champs, and we'll be having them in the team going to Rio. We've got the top hurdler in Cornell Fredericks. He's the top hurdler, and if we nurture him in 2050, he'll be there. Then we've got middle distance runners. I'm happy to hear, to see that Makoka won in Shanghai, but we know that we're up against the Ethiopians and Kenyans, but we will give him all the support to do the best. So I think I can be bold enough, Madam Chair, to say that all is well in Athletic South Africa.
Thank you,
Let's
check one thing.
If
there's no one you want to add on
the presentation. An example, the SAFA, South African Football Association. Towards the end of Mr. Kirsten Nematanani's reign in South African Football Association, a number of issues came to the fore. One of them is that their finances were, to say the least, not in good shape. I want you to follow the sequence, because quite a number of people seem to miss exactly what the steps are. Then it came to ASCOC to report on their finances, and the then treasurer reported that they are in the red to the tune of about 80 to 90 million rand. We then said, please, can you come back to us with a turnaround strategy? How are you going to turn this situation in South African football around? Whilst we were waiting for that, a dossier was left anonymously at Sasquatch House. And this dossier made a lot of allegations against SAFA. I must confess that maybe in our haste as SAFA, because we looked at the contents of this dossier and we said, yeah, we can't handle this. And we asked for assistance from the powers that be, our police, to say, can you have a look at this? We then started investigating and so on, but it ended up a lot of dust because nobody claimed what was in the document, and we started looking around and so on. At one stage in our meetings and deliberations as Sport Recreation South Africa and SASCOC, we said, maybe we need to approach the state president to help us with the judicial inquiry, commission of inquiry. That also fell by the wayside, because the advisors could not find the real thing that we were going to investigate. But in the meantime, a new election took place. Dr. Dennis Zidane became the president, and they started looking at a turnaround strategy. Some 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, honorable members, I was present at the SAFA general meeting, and the outcome put smiles on our faces. So I can report to you now that in terms of that particular area of South African Football Association, they've got a turnaround strategy, and I think they showed a profit of about 6 million rand. 6 million, if I stand corrected, but is it 12?
Yeah.
12 million. 6 million was SASCOC. We also had a surplus, Madam Chair. SASCOC also had a surplus of 6 million. So SAFA was 12 million. So I can say that from our side as SASCOC, and even as late as last week, we had interaction with Dr. Danny Zidane just to catch up as to how are we doing in terms of our football structures. You will recall that quite a number of one or two of our teams have now qualified, and a story about Banyana, they fell at the last hurdle. And just to show how committed our women are, you know, when she received the present, she was just crying, because she was so disappointed that she disappointed the country. So that's a commitment that we get out of there. I think they all realize now that that's where we are. Then of course, honorable members, you are all aware of the sadness of losing our national captain. And as I commented in the media, it is not every day that the national captain dies like that. It's not every day. But we have no power over these things. But he was laid to rest in a fashion befitting a captain of a national team. I think that concludes the issues around SAFA. And if there are members who are still got issues around what has gone on in SAFA, I can comfortably say to you, we are now at a stage where that executive is looking forward and they are putting things in place. And the beauty of it all is that SAFA is now looking at all the structures at the various level, under 15, under 17, under 19 and so on. And you can see the competitions that are taking place in the various provinces is to achieve that we start right at the bottom and start building up. And we're at that stage now. The next portion will be the annual report, some highlights of our annual report.
Let me take this opportunity to give members to fire questions in the above topics. The only thing that I'm interested on, because it's a long presentation. President, what is going on about the law? Not answer direct, take the questions. I was interested in your long-term somebody whom we need a medal at Dasco because of the care of Uluva. This committee is trying to assist, but I'm suspecting that we are good people that can go along with this to assist in this case of Uluva. We're not saying that we're not our bench. This language, I want somebody saying that to one other official. This language is language of some very social issues. When somebody saying that I'm not your friend, they are doing all well to some of us. And you have said a lot about your time. I'm just pressing whether on the very first question. I'm having an interest on Lobo's case.
Thank you, Professor. When the strategic breakaway is because we got here on what we must charge you on. In particular, the area around the wind nation, because it's a problem. So we will expect to really measure it around that particular problem. But I'm still interested in understanding, because you can't get a wind nation if you don't have a good governance in various federations. And in particular, the issue of transformation is quite critical, because the country is from years and years of colonization and oppression. I mean, for the past 20 years, we have moved the country around, but I think there are still some gaps around the transformation. And it is quite clear that we can only do whatever within the context of the independence of the various regional federations. But you will understand the second point, we are still in the end. We might have to come with a fair cut legislation around giving some fair cut powers to the minister so that he can have a new way to can intervene directly with some of the federations. But there is a challenge worldwide. So we want you to brief us here on what are your impressions, particularly on transformation, because you've got the charter and the transformation charter, which was agreed by almost all the federations. We have a score card also to a certain extent agreed to by the federations. So if you can just keep us around that. The second one would be the provincial structures, whether the sub-corp federations, sub-corp structures are well-oiled. We agree with you in particular around the areas of ensuring that the participation must start at everybody's level. So somehow we will assist you to monitor some of the confederations, because our work in the day is to do oversight. So those are the three areas for me. In terms of the winning nation, if you can also verify around your election committee, because to a certain extent, from time to time, there are disagreements between yourself and some federations. I know about two years or so ago, there were disagreements between yourself and Athletic South Africa. Thank you.
Honorable Minister, I thank you for President, the EU briefing, you achieved the accomplishment that you met with Tanzania. We are family with Tanzania. The 15% needs that goes to Tanzania. The infrastructure is not visible, nothing that can be at all. You can go around the country, there is nothing at all. You still know that they're not taking what their serious in this country. And I'm not gonna ask anything about the mayor to the estimated FGO already mentioned about and I've been covered by another time on some of the issues. And I've got these questions to President, but the president of PASCOP, who sits in the local distribution board. If you do sit on that, if you did, if it's yes that you sit on that the national lottery, distribution board, it's not a conflict of interest, maybe. And I've heard you mentioning this over the, I don't know whether it was a proposal or it was a request that you want the members to assist on this, to oversee the assets in the country. Probably, as my chairperson is here, we need to sit down and have a look at this. Maybe we can assist wherever we are.
Thank you, Honorable Madam, honor to approach. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you, President and the Minister. I'd like to know, we had a meeting of the lottery board, and they mentioned that a billion range update has been changed. Stashkov can just please confirm that. And also, it's not a conflict of interest to get money from Mpumalanga or Swetland
while there are other award-making companies that are supposed to oversee, if Metropole is coordinating a sport in the country, then also the president mentioned that we need to focus on special goals so that we can do well. At what age do you think we should start focusing and how do we monitor these techniques? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Abraham. Honorable Bachman. Could you show me?
Yeah, so far so I don't have a microphone, but I've lost because I've got a static because I heard standards. And I ended up in Tainhouse. I went in where. But at least I've got a red carpet sheet. Then, from my side, just in terms of, I'm sorry I missed the first part of the presentation because I was very interested in what happened with our youth team. You know, to me the precursor to our star team is actually what's for you. And in terms of our performance, it seems to be well underperformed. And I'd just be interested in understanding how, why, when, and how we're going to fix it. In terms of the logistics and operations, obviously it takes quite a lot of people to fly over to the games. And I was interested, I think as the stress cop was responsible for flights, accommodation, etc., etc., does that include management and administration of SESCO in that, and was there anyone left out or anyone from administration or the executive committee? In terms of SAFA, I need to understand, is the case closed between the SAFA and SESCO in terms of the money, the issues of money? I see that SAFA has actually raised three specific concerns which has been touched on briefly. In terms of what SESCO should be helping with, and that's addressing the proposed ban on alcohol. I'm interested to know what staff and SESCO's position is on that situation. And the players for national duty. In terms of that, I think let's dig deeper if we may with you. We're talking about coaches possibly having a problem, you know, players having an issue with coaches, and not necessarily the team that were saying, you know, that they're not releasing them. We have players that have their age and therefore couldn't play. So what we need to understand is, this all sorted out for the appointment of the new coach, or is this something that we're going to be, or we're going to still be facing this type of issue going forward? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Bachmann.
My question is related to the issue of transformation, and I just wanted to get SASCO's views, particularly looking at the breakdown of the team that they sent to the Commonwealth Games, and more so in terms of overall gender representativity across all federations. Are they satisfied with the current levels of gender representativity, both in terms of personnel and also in terms of leadership, more so in federations, and whether they have internally put in place measures to close that gap? And related to that is the issue of support for female athletes vis-a-vis male athletes, more so when it comes to national teams, and more so with regards to the three big federations being rugby, cricket and football, as to whether SASCO is satisfied with the current wide gap of messages between those national team players, and what would be the best approach to elevate the status of female athletes in this country so that they've got proper support. And secondly is the issue of training programs that SASCO is supposed to have provided in partnership with the Department of Sport and Recreation through CAPFITA. In the annual reports of the Department of Sport and Recreation, there was a title of 4,000 school teachers who cited for training programs that were jointly going to be led by SASCO and CAPFITA. And it does say in the annual report that none of the training programs are provided to those 4,000 teachers due to lack of cooperation from SASCO and CAPFITA. And I'd like SASCO to elaborate on that. It's referenced in the annual report of the department. And lastly on the issue of the hosting of ICAIA and what role does task of play in the establishment of that facility and its management on the provision of resources to ensure that there is a place away from home for national team athletes during this competition, and what is being the logistical role of SASCO in that region.
Thank you.
She's not going to answer.
My
All right. Chair, honorable members and chair, let me, I'm going to, that which I leave out, the other one second. Lubo, my son. I can say to you, sometimes he calls me and asks for pocket money and I then send money to you. The issue of Lubo is a social issue. And we as members of the public must always understand that some of our athletes are going through tough times. Lubo, I visited in Stellenbosch. And I spoke to his coach, who died tragically in a car accident and was burned beyond recognition. Lubo, I then went to Mbekeni to search for where does Lubo come from. Honorable members, Lubo did not even take me to his house. He asked me to meet him in the stadium. I said, but Lubo, I want to see your mother. He said, Yakata, leave it there. Just leave it. So understand that the majority of our athletes, especially from the disadvantaged communities, go through this. But what will be done? After his suspension, now that he's back on track, there are two areas where we are trying to get Lubo in. One is the University of Johannesburg, to get him resident there and train with our top long jump coach. Secondly, we can send him to Bloemfontein, to our national training center, and our confederation in the Free State can look up. It's not a question of logistics and time now. But Lubo will be back in the early January next year. Lubo will be back on our track. So that's where we are. If I can just add to that, that even the president of ASA is now taking a keen interest in Lubo. We want to end up with a good story around Lubo. In terms of a winning nation and governance, the biggest challenge that the honorable members must understand is when you, honorable members, get to the airport and you see a team all white in green and gold, and you ask them, where are you going to? And they said, well, look here, we raised our own money and we're going to Japan for a karate competition. It actually cuts your hands off. Because remember, if the parents do it themselves, we have very, very little power over that. And this is one of the things that I know that the Honorable Minister of Finance hates it when I stand up in public and I say, we have costed our plan. It's a 10 billion rand plan. He says, Gideon, stop talking too big. Where do you think we're going to get 10 billion from? But I'm just trying to say that if you really look in deeper into the issues of South African sport and you want to deal with the issues for the Lubos of this world, you can't do that with a million rand. So, when we start tackling a federation and we say the issues of governance in that federation are not to our satisfaction, the resistance, answering a number of questions, the resistance come easily. Because people say that, you know, how much did you actually give us? You won't interfere in our affairs. But let me say to you that at a conference in Mexico, we agreed that the autonomy of a federation within a country does not supersede the rules and powers of that country. So they know that. So they can go as far as they want to go, but the government of this country is in charge. And within the rules and regulations and the power and the law of this country, federations can operate. So we do get involved. But we can go so far and no further. So governance is an issue that we are dealing with. Now, in our structure of SASCO, we do have a governance commission. Whenever we get reports that the issue of governance are not being taken care of, we send in that commission, and we've dealt with them. We've dealt with fitness sport, we've dealt with karate, we've dealt with equestrian, we've dealt with karate, we go in there. And we're not powerless to do that. I mean, the point where we have come to now is that many of them are taking us to court. And we have now agreed that we will not face them in court. We now take Sport Recreation South Africa, because in there we've got a legal department. And we put it on the table of the legal department. And if we cannot get satisfaction out of that, we then say, let's go to the Court of Arbitration on Sport, which is based in France. In other words, that's a direct way of dealing with those issues. So yes, if you want to be a winning nation, all things must be equal. Governance issues must be addressed, and all those things must be in place. Let me deal with the issue that is on everybody's mind, all the issue of transformation. Remember that at the Indaba of 2011, we agreed that we will engage the federations on the issues of transformation. And what did we say? We said, Federation A, tell us how fast you can get to the satisfaction point that we want. Write it down yourself. We're not forcing you. So you as Yipske, you say that by the year 2017, this federation would have been transformed A, B, C, D. And we take that and we go and make up the scorecard. It's not us. It's the federation that agrees that by 2017, our world look like this in terms of transformation. And that is why we appointed Dr. Fike Noto as the eminent person group chairperson. He reports to us and the department on the progress being made in transformation. Right. So now you've got, there's the EPG, they check according to the scorecard, agreed upon by them and the federation, no us. You agree as football. That's why, you know, it's so nice to look at the rugby model now. The 40 presidents have agreed. Yes, that's how we are going to pick our teams. They agreed with Dr. Fikeni and his team, that's how they are going to do it. The same with cricket, look at the structures of cricket, and you can see that our youngsters are coming through. Now what do we do now as SASCO? Do we fold our arms? No. We go to our structures when we have council meetings and we ask, how can we assist the SASCO for you not to fall foul to that scorecard? And one of the things that we've now agreed on is that let that help you in the distance. Because the more you are in the district, the more you are going to satisfy your scorecard. That's where we are now. So anybody asking what is SASCO doing about transformation, we are engaging our federations to assist them to not fall foul to the agreement with the EPG. So the chart is in place, yes. The scorecard is in place, yes. Now it is up to the EPG to report to us, to the minister first, and then to us, and to say that take a look at that particular federation. It is slow. Then we go into there, and it's not coming down with a hammer. We go and say, Mr. President, what is the issue? A sport like ring ball. You know ring ball? Tennis, I think it looks like tennis. They called me and they said, Mr. President, we are trying to satisfy ourselves with our scorecard. So not many people know the ring ball. But those federations are working on the ground. So they had their Bosbora 2 weeks ago. And they said, these are the, we engage all the questions, and these are the things that we're still not clear on. Please help us with this. There is goodwill on the side of our federations to get there. And I think we must just help them get across that. Are the provincial structures well or not in all the provinces? I would appeal to you from the various provinces. I can say to you, in the Free State, it's running like a bomb. In the Eastern Cape, it's running. Gauteng is running. Limpopo, not so much because not enough funding is given to them. Northwest, it's a battle. Mpumalanga, they are there. KZN, in terms of money being given to them by the HOD, yes, they are getting it. Which one is missing? Western Cape is there. In terms of, remember what I'm trying to say is, you know, recognition of that structure by the provincial government. It's there. If you look at the Western Cape, for instance, they are now starting something new in Gansbaai, and they are going to tell Yosef. So in terms of the structure, yes. What is the issue? The issue is that in as much as we have 72 federations nationally, not all of them join provisions. And that's where the big push is now. We are pushing them and to say, yeah, but why are you not in the provincial structure? Why are we 72 and national, and then we come to a province and the province, now we are only 40. What happened to the other 30? And that is what we're chasing up now. So yes, it's oil and not so well oil. Are they accountable? The money that they got from us, SASCOC, and from the lotto, and from the department, we're now looking for audited financial statements. We don't want just ordinary reports, we want audited financial statements, and some of them are complying. SAUGA, yes, we've got agreements with SAUGA now, and the agreements are around one thing for us. Why are you not giving us the facilities that are standing empty and that are being vandalized? That's the only question we're asking. Because our federations want to know, why are we not giving facilities? Those of you who come from the Eastern Cape, you can drive through the Eastern Cape as I did, and you can go to many facilities that have been locked up for many years and have been vandalized. Go to Butterworth. They've broken down everything that we've built. Go to, what is that place down the hill, Mount Ellis. Go there. When I went into the municipality there, I said, give me the key for that padlock. He said, I don't know where the key is, Mr. Sir, but it was somewhere here. Now, that to us is a killer. And we must get that right. We have to get our facilities. Go to Joburg, Benoni, and those places, and you will see the facilities. Those of you from the Free State, drive around. One of your swimming pools has been turned into a car wash. That is what we, because we are powerless, because it's a municipality that we have. What would they say to us? In our funding, there is no money to maintain these facilities. And that is our appeal at the SASCOC to you, honorable members, that you have to put this on the table in terms of why can't you give these facilities to the sports movement of that particular area, so that they end up, those of you from Dantan and Eastern Cape, that municipality built a brand new academy for boxing near the highway, near the new shopping mall. Brand new. I can show you pictures here. It's before any person could take over, because there was some misunderstanding as to why it had not been given over. It's now a shack. It's now been burned down and people have taken this. Not one boxing mat to place there. So where do we at SASCOC, together with our provincial unit, fight these fights? And we're asking, but SAUGA, that's why we call them to our President Council and say, come and answer for this. Distribution board, I don't think there's any board member now on that anymore. Because there were so many complaints of conflict of interest. Ukidion, so much alemali, we need friends, right? So Gideon Sam decided to step down, Ajira stepped down, Vinesh stood down, Matlati is down, who else is on it? Yeah. No, we are not involved because this thing was a conflict of interest. Oversight over the... leave that. Mrs. Edwards, the whole issue of the lottery as a big sponsor, they are. Take out the lottery and look like any other African state. I'm not going to mention names, otherwise it will be in the papers. Take out the lottery and we'll be like any other African state. We are lucky in this country because of the lottery. And I don't want to stand here and quote, it's a billion plus, but the lottery gives us money to run the high performance, to help with the National Training Center, to help our athletes in terms of incentives and so on. So yes, we so far, and I want to pray to you, and I really want to go on my knees to you honorable members, let that golden goose never be killed. Otherwise, we'll be gone. We will really be gone. Why? Because we suddenly have a funny thing in this country. Sponsors are no longer coming to the party if they're not the big three. You're not football, in rugby they stand in a queue for the sponsor. In soccer the same, in cricket the same. Why should fall below those three? You have to fight like nobody's business. So yes, we are. Kumalel, why? No, there's only one controlling body of horse racing in this country, Kumalel. The other one, they all work together. Remember the big case that we had in the sunny town of the lady from the Eastern Cape who took them to court? She stood back later and said that, I think this is the right way to go because it is not a viable business if you're small and you want to run horse racing. So Kumalela in that way. So the question being asked, don't you think you're conflicted? No, we're not conflicted because this was in the early days of the National Sport Council, the NSC, that we were invited to join. And for some time it was dormant. We never participated. We didn't even know whether there are dividends until such time that we started searching. And said, are we not supposed to get dividends from that thing? They said, yeah, but you're not participating. Hence now, every year we have the Triple Crown. And we have invited members of this esteemed body to join us at the Triple Crown. Because out of the Triple Crown, we get quite an amount that helps us in terms of what we do. Special codes that need, I believe that to adhere. Nanjing was a big disappointment, Mr. Bergman. It was a disappointment. I've never seen juniors in this country perform so badly. And we're now investigating what went wrong. For swimming to go to the juniors and not get one medal is a disgrace. So we are investigating. We were saved by the girl from Bula. Gazelle, what is her name?
Gazelle Magaman.
Magaman. I mean, if she didn't run that last race there in the hurdles and bring us a gold medal, I don't know how we would have got into our town. We probably would have got off in Lesotho and take a bus and come here. It would have been too much of the embarrassment to come back here. In terms of once again, the appeal is going to go out to you. Honorable members, if this issue of no advertisement of alcohol in sport goes through, that's the end of sport. We accepted it during the time of Madam Kosazana Zuma Zami, when she took away tobacco. And sport, that gap was never filled. Now, whilst we are waiting for that gap to be filled, the next one is alcohol. I know that the Honorable Minister for Health is serious about it, but so are we too, that we are going to be hamstrung seriously if that is test, SA breweries and football. And so when we sit down with Dr. Benny Zudani as an executive and all the others at Supersport, and so we have a committee that's working on this, Mr. Bergman, but we're not making any headway. It seems to me from the side of the Honorable Minister for Health, it's a done deal. I don't know where we are going to fit in, but that's what we know. So, and the second part of your question, Mr. Bergman, is the whole issue of national duty. Remember, as in international, like for instance, Heineken now can play our international players up only to a certain point. Then, because it will fall outside the IRB, grace period, some of those players towards the end of our tour now, end of the year, will not be playing. So it's the same in international football. But when it comes to the national teams, it seems to me it's an issue that SAFA and the PSL must now really sit around the table and hammer out. What happens? Shall we deny Mr. Sheikh Mashallah the best of the place because, the club is more important than that. It's an issue there. And the issue of team selection is that to patient. Transformation, I think, Ms. Malati, you're asking a breakdown. Can I just, the issue of transformation must be debated differently. My contention is that the issue of transformation must be debated differently. Why? Because I drive around this country and I arrive at a school on a Wednesday and there is no sport. I drive around this country and I come on a Saturday in some of our areas. What we are creating now, sir, is that we are creating a situation where all those who are privileged, whose parents have got money to go to the previously modest schools, they are the ones who are benefiting. What about the millions who can't afford it. And if that is not addressed, why it is that we don't have full support? If you don't address that, then the issue of transformation will be with us for the next 20, 30 years. We have agreed as sport through our Honourable Minister, Fikile Mbalula, that together with Honourable Minister Mtsheku, that the issue of school sport must be addressed and must be addressed seriously. In the absence of that, Honourable Members, you will sit here for the next 30 years and you talk transformation. There is no way that a child on the other side of Kumbu is not exposed to sport on at least 2 days a week. How do you want to transform? So when you look at our team here, and we are still lenient, because we force this federation to say, go and find that black child. That can't be right. Because internationally, there's no criteria. You throw that time on the left in the team. And there's no way you're going to take up shirt or cloak because you say, I'm not putting the child from Peggy. No, doesn't work like that. There is a time that you must swim, and if you don't swim that time, you're not in the team. Now if you want to have, I'm not going to mention names, but we have Eric the Eel from one of the African countries. I must be honest with you. There's no way we in South Africa will ever embarrass a South African like that. Eric the Eel swam while the other had long finished. Long finished. And he gets applause and standing ovation and he makes some money out of it. No, no. We are not a nation of that kind. We're not going to allow that. We're not going to. So what are we saying? We're saying that we have to stand up and say there shall be school sport. And there shall be coaches in those schools and they will do a proper job at least twice a week. So the debate on transformation will remain. But what are we saying? Are we running away from it? No. We're engaged in cricket. We're engaged in rugby. We're engaged in netball. We're engaged in all the federation. We're saying that, how can we help you so that you transform the team? What did we do first? We said there will be coaches. It was blood on the floor when we said that. There shall be coaches, whether you like it or not. Now, funny enough, I read an article about a week or so ago, and somebody said, you know, they helped us with these coaches. Look at our teams now. But it's something that is not natural. We have to move away from that. Training problem, I'm surprised by this statement. And I really want to investigate the statement. That we did not cooperate as SASCO on training programs. Oh, and look at training programs of coaches in this country, run by SASCO as the lead. And can see the number of federations who are joining that program now for coaching. A coaching framework that is now internationally respected. And we are now ready to take it to those five, SADC, the region five, to help Lesotho, Swaziland and all those countries to get into our framework because the international body gave us the license. So it can't be right to say that we are not cooperating. I don't know which other training program there is. Because our training program is on coaching. If you ask me a question of a training program that we had, we went to the services sector. I took the trouble to represent South Coast and went to the services sector. They gave us an amount of money and that money we said, we want to improve our coaches. Okay, only 60% of them completed the program, which was run by the University of Durban. So no. That somewhere, non-cooperation, I really want to read. You say it's in there. I'm going to ask my managers to look into that statement in that report. Ekhaya. SASCO, in the olden days of NAFSA, and maybe SAGA, South African Commonwealth Games Association, we used to say, the parents of the children who are competing would like to come over to the competition and be entertained. And the concept of Ekhaya started there. Ekhaya Girls' is the Department for the Recreation of Africa's baby. But because we cooperate on many areas, we as SASCO cooperated with the department in terms of setting up and putting up a Ekhaya. In this context, it was a good thing to have Ekhaya in Glasgow, because we were able to meet quite a number of countries that we want to exchange programs with, and that we want to use one day when we want to bid for the Olympics. So yes, in terms of, there is a report, a full report, Honorable Chair, that can be submitted to this committee in terms of acquire the block. What happened, how much money was spent, did we make a profit, how much did we lose, and so on. On the whole issue of digital network, the context is this. I'm asking this esteemed committee. If you are in a particular area, check whether there, not that netball, which sport is being played in your particular area. And report to us so that we can then go to that sport and say, come on, how can there be no netball here? Not that there is no netball. This is just the example. All I'm saying is that try and look around and see. It's possible. What do you need to do cross-country? In any village. And in Tata and the Transkei area are very good in that. The kids run from one hill to another hill, as if they've walked it. It is, they are good in that. So what we need to do is encourage that district. Come on, can't we have cross-country club here? So that every weekend, once a month, one woman can give us half a sheep and let the kid compete for that half a sheep. Then we'll see how we grow. We are trying to, we can't be too sophisticated in the country where we are developing as well as developed. So in those parts of the country, we have to say to ourselves, how do we make this easy? Let the kids run. And that's why in Kenya, they've got, well, it's in their genes also, but you can see that it's because of constant running that they are there. So I'm saying that, no, not just netball, each of the districts, what sport is possible here? And if you open the classroom, you will see how easy it is. Go to Mzansi now, and you go to 11 schools in Mzansi, and they've got all portable pools that we import from China, and the kids are swimming. And from there, they go to the town pool because Mzansi hasn't got a pool, as big as it is. Table tennis, we call it a table tennis, and in a classroom you can play table tennis. So each district should be playing table tennis. Chess, there are chess boards lying around, and we collected them, and the schools are playing chess in Mzansi. 11, it's possible. We must just stop saying that, oh, we need so many millions. Sometimes we don't need those millions. It is just a question of taking the resources and putting them in. The powers of the president in this country of Suffolk, I don't have the powers. You must read the constitution of Suffolk, and then you must also read what the act says in this country. Suffolk coordinates. So, if the president of rugby says, okay, here's an example. How long did it take us to remove the flag from the protea in cricket? If I had the powers, I would have stepped into that federation and said, that's it. I'll even use a pair of scissors and cut it. But now I don't have that power. They had to go through their processes and processes. Finally, they removed it. But there's still a remnant, you know, you see our media still with the old emblem of cricket. Cricket has moved on, and the media must all start moving on now. No. Powers are limited. That's why I started off by saying that. Remember that federations like ourselves, coordinating bodies, we're not full timers. I know that people hate the word, but we're volunteers. Not because I'm semi-retired, I can give this time to sport. But not many people can do that. So when I get involved in a federation, and I know it's going to take your time, we need to be careful because my powers are limited. And that's why we always upscale it to our Honorable Minister for Sport and Recreation. He's got power. He can go down there and say that it's not going to happen like that. Do you know how many medals? Real? Minimum 10. Minimum 10. And we've worked it out. Yeah, you can close your ears now. You don't have to listen to this. Here we go. Swimming. If swimming gives us 3 medals, 7 to go. Athletics? Okay. If you put the money behind athletics will deliver 3 medals. sick Portugal. That's a tough one. On the day, our seventh team will give us a medal. Seven. Pretty good. You must remember this, eh? Because after Rio, when you call me, I'll probably have resigned already. Okay. How many three to go? Rowing is going to put in, we want rowing to qualify, and that's why we're going to cry for money. As the boats are very expensive in rowing, but they are doing very well. So rowing must give us at least one medal. At least one medal. Two to go. Now we must now pray that golf, remember, we can qualify at least two of our top golfers because golf is good in the country. On the day, any of those two, I don't know who they are going to be, but I know at least we will qualify three. Any of those two will give us a medal. One to go. Now we must go to church. Is it going to be judo? Is it going to be wrestling? Now I know that high performance lay next to me saying, you are not counting that one, but I'm a realist. I count what I see and the performances. So, honorable member, 10, minimum. Finally, excuse me, going on. Those of you who went to the general meeting of Alpha, you saw the outcome. A presentation was made by Advocate Aronson, who has been working on this case. And in the end, he said, that is how it is. We have asked, that's not me. I'm sitting in the meeting there as an invitee. We've asked Mr. Advocate Nonkonyana to do A, B, C, and D. And he said, no, don't want to do that. And it was put to vote. Surprise, surprise. Even those regions in the Eastern case did not support him. I rest my case.
Except that this community has been having a cry of this standard. That 15% that was given there. If they cannot build infrastructure, they cannot maintain stadiums, we love that we must give us those white elephants as we have seen as first call. When we are doing our oversight, we need those to start with your loved ones, your mountain. It's when we are going to ask them, what are you doing about the 15% that the department is giving you? Surely, we will be getting information even from the office of those 4,000 coaches who are not trained because of this
application.
Black and white in our notes.
Please.
We love that we must do a follow-up on that. Because I won't again give numbers. I'm suspecting that through your information and we follow if we need things from you, because really you can't not have clubs expecting to have to sleep. So you arise, it's our role when we're doing oversight to check these areas of these provinces that they don't have district clubs, they only go to the provincial and national. How come? So also it's our own role, but we promise to give us the list of that. We appreciate that. And honorable members, you want to do a follow-up? Yes, please. In that report, the presentation of what we call annual report is it's bigger and we need to interact. Let's just have no PMs. Let's go to the point, fact, follow us, and even someone who's going to add will do so. Honorable Rahman, Honorable Malazi, thank you.
One question can say, so the President's funny was going to answer that question, and obviously to do with the case between SARP and SASOC has been closed now, and you travelled on SASOC account in terms of management and administration. I also just want to quickly just state that in terms of SAFA and Cisco, with what the president is saying in terms of the federation's constitution is not as strong as the country's constitution. We've got that problem with the match fixing scandal with regards to SAFA, and we've got the minister saying that we can't investigate because this could have a problem with FIFA relationship, and that last year that our country does have the ability to get involved. But the same concern is now coming to the TSL and SAFA, because we were almost, it almost seems like there's a real divorce that's coming. The TSL and SAFA are going to be 2009. And it can almost bring soccer to a, it can almost be a complex in soccer.
Good.
Well, I wanted to add, fortunately, as a committee, we took it up this thing of image fixing, and we do have the last response from the minister. We called him here, and then we interrogate and gave us, and then he's not yet dead, but we speculated the response of what he had done from here. So if we, I'm not saying we must not respond, but at least now it's not an under carpet issue. We have taken up, and so far we have got responses.
Two good points. I just want to be clear from President Sam's response with regard to that issue with an African or with a follow-up, as to whether he records that the information in the annual report is incorrect. And secondly, on that issue of transformation, the initial question was based much more on the gender inequality, but most of all, I just want to get your short view on whether you think the current match fees allocated for senior national teams in football, cricket, and rugby are adequate for female athletes in those categories.
I'm no longer raising the question of gender, because I'm being accused of a former number 7 of network, and the others have been saying that I'm biased. I've seen UGG, GK, alongside, and called number 7. So Uma Lapli is taking over, because every now and then all of them is asking about this gender. And even from that day, now they are thinking that I cannot say anything about other sports. I know that you're saying basketball, you netball, you do assist them in basketball, but in reality, as Washington said, we are not taking about national games on especially netball. But
I'm with you, Mr. Malak. I think you're quite correct. I think in terms of it's a phenomenon that we all have to address the issues of gender equality when it comes to sport issues. I don't think we want to argue about it. It must happen. We just have to make sure that if you look at netball, for instance, and the efforts taken by Sport Federation South Africa to make sure that they get semi-professional status. It all depends on how big the pockets of the sponsor are going to be for that to be rebalanced. But it's far from adequate. It's not something that I want to sit here and defend. It's not working. I mean, if Nyana Banyana is battling to train, and sometimes I remember during our days at the lockdown, it was really, really embarrassing, the amount of money that they got to be at the there. So yes, it's something that all of us must work for and to ensure that happens. In terms of this whole issue of match fixing, I'm sure you're quite correct, Madam Chair. The minister is dealing with this, and I don't want us to sit here and undermine the power of FIFA. You know, sometimes you have to make sure that are we in or out. But the issue, we just want to clear our name as a country. And that is what we're pushing. We're pushing that, finalize this thing. Did it happen here, and who are the culprits, so that we can deal with it. Now, in the absence of their report, to come to us and say, no, that person number one and number two and number three, they did get money from this person who's in jail now. then we can deal with it. But in the absence of that, we are still far from dealing with it. Malati also raised the issue of this. Is that so of this thing of the training, because it's in black and white? And my response has been that, yes, my senior manager, I want to, because we work well with Kachita, we work well with Sport and Trade, I cannot work out where it crept in, but she can respond to that.
Okay,
please.
Honorable Malad, we have actually covered the issue of training in our presentation in terms of the annual report. And what happened in this particular case, we did have a meeting, I think it was in 2012, with SRSA, Sekita, Sashkov, where we were discussing the issue of capacity building in terms of our teachers. And the priority scores, we looked at the 16 priority scores of SRSA, and eventually with the back and forth in terms of the funding of that particular training, and actually even getting to the schools, because we even had a meeting with Sashkov, where we got started to present to the federations as well in terms of how are we then going to do that training. Eventually, when that was not materializing, we then shifted focus in terms of our team knowledge around the development of coaches. So we are going to present on the Coach Developer Program, which is still maintained the 16 priority codes of SRSA. However, we then looked at the 11 priority codes and we've just done training for athletics in the industry. That's what happened with that particular.
When I spoke earlier on, I gave a report on, I mean, as late as last week, we were sitting together with Danny Dodan, we were looking at the structure of, you know, that's far as that's out there.
One of his hearings and then something okay.
The honourable member wants to find out whether we sit next to the same fire with Safa. We do. In terms of meetings now, it's regular. You know, we as late as you saw a statement from time 3-4 weeks ago, we're at Safa House, because what we do now is to make sure that we keep each other on par in terms of information. Yes, we are Safa and Sasco. We have no access to grind.
Okay,
thank you. I just want to add on the one of the slides. Yes, it does include the management and its phases for international students. But I thought maybe I must also add to Honorable to that when we met with cricket, good news came to us in terms of that the current women's team, cricket, is now on board in terms of being here quite cricket, for sure that they are addressing the issue of gender. No, not just that to be rated at an equal level with men, but it is then being contracted if there is something about this. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you,
Madam Chair. We'll try and move quickly. In terms of the... It will, because we summarize the annual report.
We submitted it early. No, I'm saying that every copy, they must not share with you. Everyone need to have his or her own copy. Okay.
Okay, I need to clarify that this time around we did submit the presentation as early as last Friday. In terms of the activities that we undertook, I'll try and move quickly for the sake of time. We actually undertook roadshows last year, as early as February. The purpose of the roadshows was for us to actually get to the ground, to the provinces and the districts, because we realized that people were not aware still what type of mandate was and what we were involved in terms of sport in the country. And we, part of those roadshows, we actually shared our vision and our strategy. We actually then highlighted the support that we required from the province. And those meetings were actually, we had briefings with the NC staff where we discussed the whole presentation and requested their support in terms of the programs that we deliver at SASCOC. And one of the president can highlight at later stage is we requested each province to contribute at least 2 million rand towards the high performance program. And that 2 million rand was going to be managed by the province. However, would indicate to say like a girl like a Giselle Wagerman would then support it through that 2 million rand or any athlete from that particular province. Then the other major delivery last year was the delivery to the World Games, because people seem not to focus more on the World Games. However, these are seen as the Olympics of non-Olympic sports. We had about 39 athletes, and we had only 4 medals on that. And one of the things which we realized is that we don't really perform well at World Games. And we are now looking at an operation excellence for the World Games sporting goals so that we prepare for the 2017 Games. Then moving on to our flagship program, which is the Operation Excellence. We have done the contract, we finalized the contract. We're now looking at the issue of the special support, because we realize that there are certain people that we may have let out that require support. But in terms of the past financial year, we spent about 4.4 million on Operation Excellence alone. And that supported about 56 Olympians and 38 Olympians. At the third plan, we did indicate in terms of how the program works and how we actually do the evaluation of athletes that are on the program. Even though we've moved away from ranking, that is still, for us, a yardstick to actually know that if athlete X is ranked in the top 8 in the world, they have a realistic chance. However, we then said the performance history becomes a critical aspect for us, and they need to be constantly performing at a higher level for us to be continuing to support them. And part of the support included the living expenses, which cover their groceries, their monthly groceries, their medical aid, the equipment. We may have seen in the media recently where there's been issues around certain athletes getting more money than others. However, we have to buy boats for rowing. We have to buy boats for canoeing. And that on its own is an expense. And those get imported from overseas. So if you do the conversion rate from the euro to the rand, it becomes exorbitant. Then obviously we do support them with transport, serious training sessions, and training camps and competitions. What we have done here is we supported as well their customer coaches to go to those events with them, be it international events or local events. Then in terms of the athlete career program, which is one of the things that we are really focusing on, and there are athletes now that we're looking at to say, coach Rio, they'll be retiring, or some of them may not even make it to Rio, so then we need to have special emphasis around that. Like a Luka Manyonga would be something that would benefit from the athlete career program. We had 3 sessions in the past financial year, and we had 2 in November, 1 in Joburg and 1 in Stellenbosch, and then we had 1 in March last year, where we focused on both Olympians and the Paralympians. And the key focus on this is for them to actually manage their dual careers, being an athlete and either working or being a student, because it is particularly difficult to actually manage both careers. And one of the key things that this session covers is actually for them to discover themselves in terms of their personal characteristics. And what skills do they have that are transferable from sports to the working environment? So they look at that to say, you may have, as an elite athlete, you've got particular traits that are not normal to your sedentary or your normal person. And also, they need to be able to create their own profile and professional CV. Because you'll be surprised that you think they are professional athletes, elite athletes, but they can't actually do a proper CV. So that is some of the things that this program takes them through. And also the networking and marketing, the interview preparation, and obviously the specific occupations. One of the things is to say, we can't take athlete X and make them work, let's say, SASCOC for argument age, and then they won't fit there. What particular job that they will fit best in, so we cover that. And this program is actually endorsed by the IOC, because we take the curriculum directly from the IOC, and now also with the IPC. In terms of the agreements that we signed, it's Jemona, which we signed last year in November, and already our athletes have benefited from this particular arrangement where they go over to Italy when they prepare for the European circuit. And for us, it actually cuts the funding in terms of some of them going back and forth and being sick, traveling between Europe and Africa, even place themselves in Europe, and it's easy for them to either move to Germany, to France, to all the other European countries for their competition. And Jemona pays for some of the, for a part of their stay, their food, and obviously medical is for free. In terms of them, if they get injured, they go to a hospital or to a doctor that is covered by Shimona. In terms of Chinese surfing, we have started implementing that, even though it happened after the Kaohsiung World Games. We now send our athletes by table tennis routine as part of preparation for their continental qualifiers and for Nanjing. Yes, unfortunately, they ended up qualifying, but we have actually used that agreement and Chinese have paid for everything. All we had to pay for was for flights for them to get there from the airport, accommodation, everything. Chinese have paid for it. And vice versa, when their cargo team came to South Africa, we paid for their accommodation and meals and ground transport. And in turn, they actually had a session with our tug of war ladies team, because it was a ladies team, and the coaching sessions, so that's part of the exchange program that we benefit from. In terms of the provincial academies, we are progressing, even though obviously in some provinces with challenges, as we indicated the stress plan. For us, it was about implementing the Indaba resolution. We said, of course, this is the mandate, we need to make sure that it happens. And we are working with Sports and Recreation South Africa to actually ensure that the academies are functional. And the five academies, we are now safe to say that they have aligned to the framework. We will make the new framework available to the members, but it has been on the support website. But because of the changes that we made, and then we just took it off. But as of March this year, it was signed off by the Minister of Sports and the President of SATO. In terms of Northwest, even though they did go through the process, because what is happening is that they have existing board as part of their previous dispensation. And we say that there can only be one board which is accountable for sports, that is the SATO. And they then need to have the provincial structures. And what we say is work with the provincial sports confederation, because you can't have parallel structures in a particular province, but then that creates chaos. So we said to them, go through the legal process of actually aligning your constitution to SACOC and to Sports Confederation, and also disbanding the existing boards to actually make way for the new regulation. SRSA is finalizing the provincial academy regulation, which will be a 10-member commission that will then be appointed by SACOC, the Sports Confederation, and by MECs of the province. In terms of the key components, those are the ones in terms of who are the key role players. And what we have done is to just go all the way to say even SALSA has got a role to play in the academic system, especially at a district level and also in terms of facilities. Sports and Recreation South Africa, the provinces, in terms of provincial government and the provincial federation. So each and every role is outlined in the framework. In terms of governance, that has been the major change in the academic system, which I will show you just now. Then the one key thing that is happening now is the whole recognition of academies. So we're getting a lot of applications coming through to SACOC where people are applying to be recognized, and it's mainly the private academies. And what we've picked up is that there are a lot of private soccer academies, which is something that obviously SAFA is looked at as well, because what we're saying in the framework is that for you to exist as a private academy, if it's a sport specific, you need to be also endorsed by the particular national federation. You can't exist in isolation. So if it's a multi-coded academy, each and every federation needs to actually then say, yes, you are recognized because you are contributing to our sport. The next process that we're going to do now is to say, we will accredit, because for us, yes, we recognize you, you exist in the country, but we will then be accredited in terms of the services that you render as an academy, whether you have gold, silver, or bronze. And that will be published to say Academy X exists. And if a parent decides to take their kid to a private academy that is not recognized, that will be the risk that they will take. Then in terms of athlete progression for the system, I will not dwell much into it. However, we've looked at the sports focus group, which is the responsibility of SRSA and Department of Basic Education. So that's how we've clarified the whole academic system. Then moving to the district academies, even though we work with SRSA on this, that is the mandate of SRSA within the system to make sure that all those district academies are functional. However, we will do joint monitoring. Provincial academies, I have already presented on that, but that's a joint management between SASCOC and SRSA. And the one key thing that we realized, which has been the major breakdown of the system, is that whole transition from the provincial academy to national, and saying that for each and every athlete, we need to have a system. And I'm happy to say now our database is slowly picking up with testing it. Even every athlete from the sport focus school will be on the database, and we will be able then to check those athletes all the way to national. In terms of the national academic system, that will be the main responsibility of SASCO. These are the major changes in the framework, which have indicated that CLSA is working on their regulation. Is that the 10-member commission, 5 of those will be appointed by SASCO, and 5 of those will be appointed by the MG. The National Training Center we did launch last year, and some federations have started using it, even though there has been obviously a few glitches there and there, as it happens with any major undertaking that one takes. However, it isn't long contained, and there was like was also supported by the Premier and by the then MEC, and I know that the President indicated he will be meeting with the new MEC to actually then indicate what the center is about and how it is going to function. But this for us will help the Federation to actually save money on going to pay the return fund for camp training camps. In terms of the talent ID and development, this is the main focus where we want to address our youth. For us, Nanjing was a shocker. And even though, yes, we had one medal, but we had a trip of our 30 kids reaching the top 4. So we just wish we could translate that top 4 into a bronze at least. However, being there, seeing what the other countries are doing, we realize that we need to do something to because that particular youth that we took to Nanjing, those were our best athletes. Because they had to qualify through the International Federation's policy. It was not the process that we just decided on. They had to qualify through a system. And I mean, the shocker that is when we realized that even half of the federations couldn't qualify for those games. So then we realized that maybe we've been too complacent as a country and not focusing on our youth, but it's something that through the long-term participant development, we believe that we obviously will address. However, separate from that, we're also looking at calling it an OPEX for junior athletes or for the youth, but that we're looking at more at your provincial academic system to say the provincial academies need to focus on that youth that we took to Botswana and we took to Nanjing, because that's our next level of top-level athletes. But in terms of the long-term participant development, this program we started it to say that we need a system as a country. And most countries, you do a sub-search, are now focusing on this. Even though, yes, there are debates, scientific debates happening, but we opened it up to all federations of SASCO, and 41 federations to date have taken up, and they have their long-term participant development plan. And already 35 of them launched the plan, even though the challenges that they experience is to say, we now need funding to actually implement this particular plan, because some of them have to change their competition structure to actually take care of the specific age groups, because each sport is specific for swimming and for gymnastics, they need to pick in. So yes, you're going to look at a younger age group for those particular sports, but for the other sports, yes, you can look at your 18-year-olds. In terms of the coaches' development, this is the particular program that we focus on, especially to say that for us to make sure that our athletes are supported, we need to ensure that they have coaches that can actually also support them. So we formed the key partnership with SRSA, SETINTA, the Qualifications Authority, and UK Sport. UK Sport has given us some funding. And we are recognized as a lead partner globally by the International Council for Coach Excellence in terms of coaching. Then we also have our manager of coaching serving on a wider education committee because of the work that we have done in South Africa in terms of coaching. And then at the conference last year, we actually started encouraging people for the creation of the African Coaching Council. And we decided then that next year we've been working with COSANO, we will have a conference for Region 5 sets before then we move to the African continent. Because we believe that if we have all countries in the continent being stronger, then we'll also be stronger. And we have now started the implementation of the recognition of violence. In terms of the Coach Developer Program, this is a program which started, it started as that capacity development program that was going to look at teachers. However, then it changed and we moved to focus on coaches, etc. And we've implemented the framework, and out of that, we've got 22 national coach developers that we trained. And these are from the 11 federations that are participating, which are also the federations that are part of the priority school sports codes at FRSA. And out of those, there were those that really performed well, and three of them happened to be the lead people in the National Federation as their coaching directors or technical officials. They were then elevated to the status of the National Coach Education Advisor. So these are the people that at the national level will help in terms of looking at the curriculum of each and every federation in terms of the coaching structures, in terms of the content. currently we are going through the alignment process, because you have coaches that have qualified through the International Federation, so we have to consider that. We've got the national qualification framework in the country that everyone has to comply with, and then you have our coaching framework, where now we're trying to say, let's align all these to make sure that if someone is a master coach, it is different for each sporting code. A master coach, let's say in football, will be a level 3 or a level 4, but the master coach in athletics will be a level 5 in terms of the agile. So those are the things that we're currently working on. And out of that training, even though we've trained a lot of people, 229 people started the phase 1, which where they were taught to how to be facilitators. And 165 of those moved to the next level in terms of being assessors. And only 82 of those moved to being moderators. And what we are doing now is to say, those 82 need to go to the district, so that now they're going to be assessed. And they will be RPL results, but they're going to be assessed in terms of how do they go to schools and develop other coaches and to their district. And then one of the things that we implemented as well was the graduate development program, which was fully funded by the teacher. And we had 20 interns which were placed in each province. So we placed 2 in each province with the sports confederation, and we're focusing on the coaching program into the SASCOP. And these were the graduates who were doing sports management, sports science, with the more focus on coaching. And some of those, like Yotusum Huang, who's the former Tuna Dita runner, is now working with the Fish State Sports Confederation. You have Aliyah, who's working now at the District Academy here in the Western Cape. So some of them managed to get employment, while some of them are completing their degrees. But this is one course that we, this is one program that we believe we need to look at, because it helps in terms of job creation and also ensuring that our graduates have them skill when they finish the course. Then also now, the assisted with the long-term course development is something we are looking at. Then just to, in terms of looking forward, we started the process. We're looking now at the professional body for sports coaching in the country, where we believe we need to professionalize it. Yes, in the bigger sporting codes, we have the professional coaches, but we're saying every federation comes in 16, they need to comply with legislation. And already the colleagues at SRFA, who are part of the coaches development group with Kate Seeker and ourselves, have given us some feedback in terms of how that regulation will be done for us to realize this by 2016. And then there will be the database. We've already started loading the coaches who've been attending our coaching conferences, that you will be a licensed coach, you will want a database, and also you, one of the key things that we're looking at, that you shouldn't have any criminal record, especially if they're going to be dealing with underage players. Then in terms of Olympic Solidarity, I think the President has touched on that. By the summary, we do get some funding from Olympic Solidarity. And one of the major things that we do benefit from is the athlete scholarship, where each and every NOC in the world can apply to the IOC for scholarships. And for the Winter Olympics for Sochi, we're looking at the 2 athletes, Steven Spielman and Leanne Murray. And obviously they couldn't qualify, but they did benefit from that. The Rugby Sevens are currently benefiting in terms of the $100,000 leading up to 2016. And then obviously Derek Finch, who is a coach for swimming. For each year we've been selecting coaches to go to this course. And it is the IOC that decides which federations by that time or that particular year. So Angela Moore, who has been research advised as well. And then cycling and sailing, we could give them some scholarship for their coaches. And also in terms of the other technical coaches, those are the federations that we have supported through Olympic Solidarity. The President touched on earlier in terms of bursary scheme. These are the athletes that we actually supported, and some of them have finished their courses, some of them are still continuing. We will be advertising at the end of the month for the new intake in terms of their bursaries, and that always depending on how much money or that we get from the investment. Then the Global Coaching Conference, just to touch on briefly, this was the first that was held on the African continent, and we had about 127 international guests and 129 locals. And the key milestone for us was that the ICCE launched their International Sport Coaching Framework, and this framework was also mirrored around the South African Coaching Framework. Then the creation of the African Coaching Council, I did touch on that. And then also one of our board members was then elected as the ICCE Vice President for the continent.
Thank you, Zara. And just to continue, as per our schedule,
August, we have to compile and confirm in terms of 14 meetings, and that ACAN will make sure that we hit a SACOC in terms of governance issues. So for this year, we've managed, for last year's period, we've managed three meetings, one general meeting, one AGM, and one SGM. And the SGM, special general meeting, was more to amend our constitution. But we also have a forum that it's called by the president, where he engages with the leadership of federation. So it's a president council, so it's only the president of the federation that come and meet with the president in terms of discussing key hesitant issues regarding sports. On the issue of feeding and hosting, I think we're all aware that National Federation will not host any event in the country without us functioning those events. And we can safely say to you that most of the federations now are trying to comply, and we managed to approve about 8 international events in the past year. Challenges that we have on the issue of feeding and hosting, I think you might be aware that there's a problem about the issue of the CHEF program for next year, where Morocco is in low and they are looking at that. From South Africa might want to host there. So I'm raising this one, I think that some of the federations go to the international meetings, and when they ask that, are you willing to speak or to host? Some of them just say yes, while they know that very well that they do follow due process, but also secondly, they need to engage the department of government in terms of where they're able to support them on that aspect. On the issues of monitoring evaluation, I think you've raised concerns about visibility and functionality of some of our structures at lower levels. At SACOC, we've set up a structure department, which mainly works with national federations to monitor if there's any progress in terms of what they do. And two things that you can, the issues that you've raised in terms of good governance. The second aspect is the one about if our federation is really implementing some of the aspects that are clearly said in the national sports legislation plan. So we've met with about 20 federations, and in that really we're starting to see light on some of the issues that federations are doing at our provinces, at our provinces. Yes, that process is led by two of our key commissions, which is the Commission for Membership and Evaluation, but also the one of Transformation and Ethics. I'm not going to really deal on issues of justice, which is the next slide. The present, the type stays on that one. We've got a justice resolution mechanism, which clearly states what is the process if there's a justice within the National Federation. And we clearly say that exhaust your internal processes of the National Federation. If you can't resolve the issue at that level, it's the only time that can have a process in that thing. And then we intervene as the president said, we don't have power. We just need mediate in the process so that they do the win-win situation and the process that they have. But if you fail also to resolve the matter at SACOC, we really then leave this matter to the education to take charge. What the act says so that if there's a justice in the federation and you fail as a confederation, then you want it to be ministered to the carried. And the one of the court issues, I think the president has spoken about, so I'm not going to really repeat that. In terms of the issues, as I indicated, is that we realize that at the end of the day, really, it's time consuming for us, because rather than focusing on the issues in terms of sports development, now we end up sitting at the boardrooms to address these issues, but also it's costly. Because I think you might have realized that with a lot of issues that we have in athletics and all that, there's a lot of issues that have been noticed on that. But also, the president has indicated that everybody, if we fail and we try harder as SACOC, those measures are then referred to government for the team. Just for your information, these are some of the special projects that we have at SACOC. The issue of the Edge Sport Awards, we do partner with the department in terms of hosting that event. And I think in the main, our role at SACOC is ensuring that our national federations are encouraged to nominate athletes that deserve to be recognized in that particular period. Olympic Day is an event that we do, it's an IOC flagship project, which focuses on really getting people that whether in sport or out of sport, but educating them about Olympism and also encouraging them to live a healthy lifestyle. GFCM Awards is a program that is run by Mariah and Robert and focused on sports development. So they recognize structures at lower level that are really focusing on developing sports. TNG, I think we all aware that they were our partner in the 25th Olympic Games, and obviously they are having most of the schools
with equipment and a backup within taking these on that asset. In terms of making sure that really some of our assets that whether infected or affected by the pandemic, they are really taken care of. Women and girls camp, we've got a commission in SAFO that looks at women and sports, and through that commission, there are programs that we're running. We've conducted two women and sports camps in Southern Cape and Fairfax, which really bring together young and old in terms of women and girls. And for us, that's encouraged them that they are playing with modular issues, but they can also be involved in sports, and they can even take leadership within sports. Women's sports days, line survey, the Region 5 had a conference in Botswana last year, and we're also involved as SAFOC in terms of taking cue in terms of what they expect the region to do in relation to sports development. And I think from our perspective on that survey, we came out as South Africa in terms of having more women leading within sports in the country. Sports tourism exchange, I think we had one recently together, we're partnering with tourism. And also on another aspect, it's really to show that sports through events that we host really will contribute to tourism and economy of this country. Lunchbox funds, there's a program that focuses on schools. We'll be saying there's no kids who should really go to school and doesn't have something to eat. So we have partnered with a lady who plays in the U.S. and the focus is moved on our schools, and we are doing that together with the Department of Education. The advisor to Minister Musika was the person actually who brought this program to us. And I think we also attended this Mayweather when we were here in the country, and also we had managed to host a visit of our president of the IEC. And I think the last one the president spoke about that we do have exchange programs with other countries in terms of what we do as SAFOC, and he said we hosted Zambia in a week's time in the country. I think from my side in terms of the I'm not what we end here. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. We have ample time for one of the members. This is the annual report, except that I raised this question under the athletic question in the 16th of Slims Amasha Athletes. Who's assisting, or are you able to assist this Amasha box staff? I'm having an interest on that. They are crying, they even cry to us as if we can assist. You know that we are greatly even from our community, but really, if a matter of that we need to talk about, especially that that's what we are here. We know that we know that the main your role to our matters. They are owing a lot in Wasira de Kriola, but if they do owe us what about Amasha Boxers? So if the president can give us something to arm us, or how are you, can you assist the Amasha Boxers, as I'm seeing in this page that we do have the Amasha Athletes? Thank you. Honorable Moshi, Honorable Manan, Honorable Abrahams, Honorable Malati. Thank you.
Lord Chairman, thank you. Again, thank you to SAFO for the presentation. But the presentation, if it's annual report, at least we should have a sense of the money that has come in and out. Even if you don't report who you are, but so that you are satisfied that the money that they go out, even the money that comes from the national distribution agency, at least we know that everything is fine. But sometimes if we don't have that question, and we are supposed to be moving over that, it seems we are lacking something. So I thought you have said that you didn't have that question. And it's quite crucial for the world that we do.
Let me kick off with boxing. And once again, I'm going to appeal to you honorable members to assist as much as you possibly can. There is an anomaly in this country when it comes to boxing. Promoters are professional business people. And they tend to go to our provincial government and they ask for money. Our provincial government said yes because they want to encourage tourism. So far, so good. Where it is not correct is where they've made the profit, not to plow back some of those profits, a percentage of that profit into amateur boxing. That's how we're going to resolve amateur boxing. We have to get to a point where we say, yes, provinces, you can assist these promoters. You've seen, what is his name, Dalava, the big promoter in the country is? Franco. Franco goes around to the provinces and he says, Northwest, sir, honorable member. He goes to Northwest and he says, Northwest, I'll bring a voucher, give me 2.5 million. Nothing wrong with it. You want to promote boxing and tourism in Northwest. But at the end of the day, when you count the buttons, you must be able to leave some of those buttons in Northwest for amateur boxing. And that's how we're going to say. And that's not happening. But we're engaging boxing South Africa now because we want to look at the act and the promoters association that they've now got so that we can correct that. That's one. Financials, we will talk about that now. The Academy Northwest is a historical problem. Because when it started in the old days of the NSC, it was based at the university. And the university got to a point where they closed the tap and opened the tap for our federations very large. So when we intervened, we said, no, but you can't deal with our federations like this. The last big debate was with NSC Teboku, who's now gone to another department. And we said to her, NSC, you cannot have a situation where you take your money and give it to the university, and that same university then turns around and says, I'll give you, I won't give you, I'll give you. So, this new regulation says, please, let us have the body in Northwest running the academy. If you want to stay at the university, that's fine, but the management and the governance will change. We are not compromising that one. It will have to be, like Minister Siglem Balula said, these are the regulations now for academies, and that is what's going to be. Now, you know, if you, over the years, you've been getting money, the lot have been giving money. If you go to the Northwestern University, you go into the high performance there, you will see the logos for the lotto there. Who gave them that money? That equipment that is there is lots of money. So we want that to be beneficial to all our federations in the Northwest. So this regulation, some of them are taking it with lots of pain, and I don't know what the pain is for. To go on the thing is that we're improving the governance of this. In terms of fly-by-night, it's clear on our website that if you are an academy and you want to be recognized, you will have to register and we'll give you the accreditation. It's either your platinum or your gold or your bronze or your silver. Now in swimming, remember in the early days of swimming when we took over, there was this backyard swim school. Everybody had a swim school in his or backyard. And we said, no, no, no. If you don't have a flag of Swimming South Africa that accredits you, we will tell the general public, if you take your child there and something happens, that's your problem. And there was compliance. Some of these things, it's a matter of compliance. We have to put our foot down and say, you are going to comply. So there are quite a number of these courses. I remember one time I was in PE, and the hockey people said, we're the weekend course. I said, how many days? Now we started the Saturday morning and finished Sunday. Yeah, but it can't be course. That's checking. We were checking over hockey issues. You're not doing a course. So it's important that, you know, that we keep a sharp eye on that. And that's why we've got, with Katrisha and Sport Recreation South Africa and SASCOP, we have the regulations that go through that door. Anyone going through that, because there's going to come a crunch period when we say, give us your certificate. You can't say, no, I've been attending certificate. No, one is serious certificate. So people are beginning to realize that. That's why we saw, you saw those numbers there, the number of people who are now compliant as far as that is concerned. So the accreditation issue is a simple step. Even a person like Ilana Meyer, she's got a Jack Foundation. First thing she did, seek accreditation with SASCOP. She's accredited now, and what we look for is that, what have you got in this academy for you to be given accreditation? If you fall below the line, we don't even accredit you. But if there are certain things that you have, aspects that you have, then you say, okay, bronze, but you can build up and build up and build up until you become platinum. So we are dealing with that. Big, Yes, we are bidding for the Commonwealth Games 2022 in Durban. And so far, so good. Most of the countries want to come to Durban. One little glitch. Cabinet has not decided yet. Durban is happy. But there was going to be a meeting on the 1st for Cabinet to, this, to take this. The DGs have met. The DGs have kicked off. And now the stage where that must now go to the table of Cabinet and our friends in Cabinet must say yes. Then we are, must honorable members, we are running late because Canada is galloping. They've launched their logo. There are only two of us competing. Us and Canada. And Canada is galloping. Their government has given the go-ahead. They've launched their logo and they are going to everything. As we go to this evening, I'm going to Bangkok for the big National Olympic Committee. We've got our stall there. We are lobbying, but gee, you know, it's half-heartedly because government has not said yes yet. And so until such time that we get that kick-off from government, we yes, and how do we do that? We're also linking that to 2024. Because you heard our state president saying when he was in Tokyo that we would love to do that. And so what we're saying to ourselves is that if we can establish in Durban properly the infrastructure, then we can kick off the Olympics. Olympics is big, but so are the Commonwealth Games. So you've seen the Commonwealth Games in Scotland, that was massive. So that's where we are in terms of it. And how do we, in terms of individual federation, we give them the go-ahead when they have given us enough information that they can do. One of the things that is going to come to you here, let me warn you in advance, gymnastics is in trouble. They can't pay the $2.7 million to the Manhattan Hotel in Astoria. The competition is over, the visitors have left, and they are sitting with a huge bill of $2.7 million. Now, when they came to us, they said that's in place. And when we look at it, there was a sponsor, Alborex. Alborex said, we will sponsor, I don't know what way the wheel came off. Alborex is not coming to the party. So, it's something that is going to come to this commission. I'm warning you in advance that there is an issue with gymnastics and hosted the African championships and visitors came from far and wide. And I just read this morning a letter from the lawyer to our minister saying that we don't want to embarrass you, but sooner or later we'll have to go public on this that gymnastics is not paying what they owe us. So we try very hard, honorable member, to ensure that they do not commit themselves without having made sure that they've got a sponsorship in place, they've spoken to government, because government must give the security, the home affairs must support them, and tourism must support them, and so on. So we are very strict as far as that is concerned. But some of them we slip through. I know that here in the Western Cape, for instance, where junior championships in softball, junior championships in judo, and those two presidents, wherever they see me in conferences, they say, you still owe us money. And I said, but what do you mean you still owe? No. You remember here at the Goodhart Center, I think we had judo. And they said, no, you still owe us money. There's money outside. So we try very hard not to allow federations to go out and put up their hand and say, we will host. And that's why even the whole issue of cap, our government as a minister is very clear. No, we don't have that kind of money. Can't host cap. End of the story. Go elsewhere or let's destroy it. What have I not dealt with? Qualification? Mpumalanga. Oh, bursary. No, they do report. And pass rate is very good. I think some of the athletes really appreciate the support for bursaries for them to study. Some of the management courses and so on. So yes, we do get good reports coming out of that. You can always get one or two friends here. Murderbug. Well, that program in Mpumalanga is going to come online very soon. The one in, no, Middleburg collapsed. That is where Basopi was, yeah? That's right. No, that one collapsed. And so far, our academy is housed at the department in Elspruit. It's not ideal yet. We would hope that that high-performance institute that they want to build in, what is the place name? Yeah, if that can come online, it will help the entire country. Because that is what we are trying to do, Honorable Chair. to have centers of excellence right through the country. So that if you look at the Free State will say, we can assist you with the National Training Center. If you can go to Mpumalanga and they build that facility, we can say, altitude training, go to Mpumalanga. If you go to Northwest, we'll say to them, for all your training in throwing events, go to Northwest. If you go to, you know, that's how we want to put up, that's how they do it in China. There were centers of excellence throughout the country. You have to go into that direction if that is your sport. It's based there, and all the resources and whatever you go into that kind of thing. So, yes, honorable member, if you can assist us and talk to the premier and all everybody involved there to get the Mpumalanga one online, it will help us a lot. What do I not touch?
Confederation.
Yeah, no, it helps with it. The Confederation in Northwest is battling. Because it's almost the only one that never got money, enough money from the MEC. In the city. You know, that MEC was there before. Gave those guys close to 15 million. And it's one of the ways that they've got a bus that goes from district to district, fully equipped to test the kids on the ground. They can bring them into the Bloemfontein. So it, where we have a concern at Sasfolk is the unevenness of what happened in the provinces. This MEC gave money, the other one said no. This one gave money, but it's not for here, it's for us to discuss here. We must go to MINMAC. We must go and address that issue at MINMAC and say, but is there a way in which we can standardize the funding of the sports confederation? I know that Pat, my friend, is crying every day in Northwest. He's, when he talks to the people from the Free State or the Eastern Cape, he says, how can you put money? And we don't get money. But it's a, it's between, it's because there's no compulsion for the MEC to give them money. You know, it's a, it's, I like you and I don't like you. I don't know whether it's like that, but, you know, that, there is no regulation that says each other. Then I just want to ask you, is there a few end of words, the financials? Mm-hmm. How much did we, you can't go through everything. How much did we get in and how much did we spend?
So basically, in terms of our revenue, it was about 125 million. And obviously we had a surplus of about 6.2 million. And I think we have now asked the office to forward the report to SNEC for the members to actually have a look at it. And obviously this on the screen you see in terms of what we have received. And the chunk of it, I mean, one of the debates that people normally believe is that we have a lot of private sponsorship, especially for the Paralympics, but if you can see that it's only 2.9. And when we actually, what we actually spend is more than that, because with the Paralympics it's different. We even deliver athletics to the IPC event, which is not the same for the able-bodied athletes, similarly with swimming and with cycling. And the chunk of the money that we get, it is from the lotto, from SRSA, which is about 10.6 million, and we are pushing that to the specific programs, of which one of them will be the long-term athlete development that we look at based on the SLA that we sign with SRSA. Then in terms of the lotteries, you can see all the money, and part of it goes, the chunk of, I think about 57% of our funding goes to our high performance sports in terms of the preparation and the delivery. Hence, most of the money goes to operation excellence. But what we do is we also pay for the coaches' salaries for rowing. All the national coaches, we pay their salaries. For swimming, we pay for Graham Hill's salary. So there's been a debate today, some of the swimming coaches, we don't pay, but we've decided to say that let's look at, like now we're looking at athletics, to say if we have a performance director or a head coach who will coordinate, how do we then assist our federations to actually be able to function. So that is the summary.
Chair, I think, Madam, the one thing that we have to raise, because we need to be transparent. Quite a number of people, and you heard the Minister for Finance say this, hey guys, stop traveling business class, travel economy class. We want to be in line with it. But one thing that I need to say to you, so when you see me in business class, Madam Chair, and you go back to economy class, just remember that because of all the travels with athletes, we gave a point. So it's a point that allows you to go into business. It's not that we buy a ticket. It's a point, and the same with hire. So if you see me driving a Mercedes-Benz, Europe car, give me that upgrade because of the point. So sometimes, you know, when you read some of the comments in papers, this cat struggle, business class, and you know, it hurts that because, you know, we are members of families, you know, and when I stand and read that, yes, that you're also in this, you know, it sounds so, but anyway, I just wanted to clarify that because sometimes go back to the administration. I want the honorable member to look at that. The portion, the percentage of what we use on the administration. It's really tightening now the belt. We long before Minister of Finance has raised it. So yes, we are cut. I can give you one simple example. I go to an international conference on behalf of Sasco and I come back and the finance department asks me, Fred, you only spent 20 euros. I said, because it's not my money. I can't do this credit card. It's not my money. It's public money. So that's how we, and all of them here, understand that I must give the example, I must leave. I can't go overseas and come back and have a huge bill on credit card. So you ask me, but what is it? I said, I would not have spent 20 euros. It is just that a coffee in that restaurant where we stayed, that's how much it cost. So I do want, you know, we do sometimes need protection as organs of state. Because we are from an act. No, we didn't just an act in parliament. Yeah.
We do have those benefits as members of parliament. Those who have been here in hot blood nuts can do what they say. Maybe those who are just arriving, they will understand that. Sometimes you be in the business class because you have been upgraded because of your status that you have been flying. So sometimes there is a sort of a motto in this point that we don't take everything from media. If you feel that too much that we're hearing about you, we are recording in the comments, not commenting, not doing more damage, at least with our mothers, sisters, brothers, that no one wants that, or do understand. But the only thing that I was a bit frightened, why are you having sickness of sickness on the media? That's the only thing that I cannot just inquire into. I can't get any explanation. You are saving in so much that you have a surplus.
No, it's chair is the way we fund it. So you go into December, January, February. Remember our financial year, and then there's a big gap before you get the next funding. So at that point, if we don't have a surplus, these will not be paid. You know, they will sit here, and I don't want them on the streets like protesting that they have not been paid. So you always make sure it's money, but by the time we look at January, there will be nothing left. No, it's not that we threaten our bank account, you know, that's not how we operate. We spend every cent, and if we must close down, we close down.
Empower us. We don't know how are you working, but also we need to hear from the horse's mouth. So the only thing that the other thing that it happens, we're feeling that we don't need you. Today we've got everything that we wanted to add in. Just take this opportunity to say that your apology is accepted.
Thank you.
We were not aware of that apology. It's just he could meet lately. But at least that day, it was not a good day. But all of the members, I'm suspecting now that we interact when anyone is coming to the committee, we'll take what they are saying, we'll put in our program. Wherever our stress plan, but day by day, our stress plan is becoming huge. Because we cannot take what you are saying, for instance, this question of the district, what in the district or the class, even our DG has been complaining about this. So you are adding more on our oversight, and we cannot do the oversight without information. So we must be there, have information, because when you are going down to the problems without information, we get more kind of leaders from national. So let me take this opportunity to say that thank you very much. We need you one other time. God bless.
Thank you very much, Chair. And yes, it's been, I've always made the offer. Whoever is doing research for the committee, they are more than welcome to pick up the phone any time of the day. It's so that we give information, we must feed you with information, so that you're not speculating, what should they do and so on. Thank you.
Or maybe let's do announcement first. Honourable members, as I'm speaking here, I want to seek guidance from the committee member. There is an invitation that we put in this way. On the 15th, the Mafan Pafana are playing with a musical slam. When we were in the funeral, the Shaba president invited officials, the committee. So I was guided, because when we were invited here in Cape Town, there are no costs involved. And if we are invited outside Cape Town, and maybe it's a national team playing, what do we do? I think I don't want to take this decision upon you, but I'm looking in our program to oversight, and then there comes a national team inviting us. This time it's going to be in KZN, but the other time it was here local. I will ask that I must be given this direction, because sometimes when we are applying to the committees, the chairman is three or two. So, but now is an invitation of all committee members, and we must bear in mind our budget. But the international team, I do have thoughts, but it cannot be the only decision. Can we entertain that?
Thank you, Honourable Jackson. This is my personal feeling. The committee budget is not oversight. I don't think it's going to fund and as much as the national team. If we get tickets and we want to vote, then we can go now next thing. But I don't think the committee should be thankful. Thank you.
Yes, but is that if the cost of getting to the game is then laid out for the commission, we need to mention that I guess our overall budget for the rest of our advice programs didn't end up compromising that for this game, and should we move that? If that invitation says that some team members can individually get it, or alternatively, we can manage that the session of the commission go as a
I'll take you under the table. Chair, we have an oversight where we as a committee are going to do something. The only reason why I'll be attending the sports award is not because I want to see the glitz and glamour. It's because I want to see where is 71 million rand being spent, how is it being spent. So if we're going to watch our national team, and look, I do think it's a pertinent one because our number one is no longer. So it's one where if we go for a purpose, you know, we're wearing that shirt, so we're going there with a purpose. We can make a ruling against that. We do have a problem though. In the last match, we were called specifically no partner, and we were going as a group. I'm out there sitting with you two, we had Juju and Juju sitting on the, or sitting downstairs. I look upstairs and there's this one and this one and this one's girlfriend and this one's boyfriend and this one's dog and cat. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm not even from the committee, I'm sitting in the grandstand. So somewhere along the line, there should be the equity amongst us all. It's very crude. When the same rules apply for me that apply to my dog, that apply to my cat, that applies to everyone, that's the same rule. Yeah. That sounds beautiful.
With my own philosophy, when I analyze this, this is a national thing. The Papa, the blue card account to us, it's a send an invitation. If our project, because it's going to last around in March, if we still have money for this invitation, maybe we can ask the Josephine, if the person goes there for this invitation, to go for this contest, this measure is supposed to be necessary, but to own number one, it went together. The committee, if we are, we can go there maybe to support that measure. We go to the Josephine. If he approves for one person, we'll appreciate that the Josephine can go there. Or on my way, we also appreciate the Josephine, that the Josephine can go there on our behalf as a committee as well. But if the approach, it will depend on the budget. It will depend on the budget because we're still going to have some oversight meetings.
Yeah, I'm suspecting it was a vision that I'm seeing. I've consulted to the resident who is saying that we cannot take decision alone. And I've consulted to the project advisor. I was thinking on the lines of budget, and I was thinking that we do prioritize our oversight, but I was thinking that this is a national issue. We can't not pronounce what we need to do about our national issue, but it must be a collective decision. We can't do each person alone. I'm proposing that. Let's apply, and if the house shepherd is given a number, it cannot say for it must have been by one person. I do understand in some instances where in the award I was given a task to go and perform as a shepherd of committee, and where in the funeral that I was just told that I must go there, check two members, it was from the office of so sometimes you need to be together with your members, not always alone. But I'm proposing that just give Usune to apply for us, and then we check that if things are the week, that it, the application must go to tomorrow, and then maybe I don't have interest to go, but those who do have, they must allow, especially when it's a national team. People they will argue when it's rugby, is this it's whatever. But in national team, we are national committee. So every now and then, let's wait the invitation. Want to talk, I'll give you. You know what, this is of using the money of commerce, you cannot alone. And I need advice, I've said it to yourself, as the pastor of the commerce. Thank you.
Thank you, Chen, honorable member. We've been doing costing for the oversight trip. The money that we have, the money that we have so far with the previous trips. In short, that we foresee a situation where in the oversight trip budget might exceed the allocated. So if we include this money, this trip for the game, not a good invention for the trip. So I don't foresee that as a possibility.
the current budget, operational budget for the whole community to go. But we could try for individual students to share. For individual.
That's the opinion of our
thank you, Alokia. Thank you, Alokia. Yes, I agree, it's oversight and so on, but that's fair enough. Maybe never can use the entitlement and then pay for the accommodation if they really feel seriously about it. I'm of course the Allah shocker and all it, and so then you can use it. And then on the note of Councillor Bowman, I also have this response because I'm there with my husband, but I was there on a different level. I didn't even use my on the ticket I gave to someone else. So because of the long term soccer boy.
I also thought to really but if say in more problems that the place when I took this, I think you will remember around the head. And only if we did the I think it could go in a good situation.
The point was just made, so I won't say anything.
I'm worried when I'm doing application and then saying one or two, but if we're saying that people can try themselves, it's at cost, and at least those who want to go only the accommodation. I'm worried that there are people who want to go and see but really we are all cautious about the budget and we need to be like that. So am I out of order when I say that if members can try them down and then at least have the imagination accommodation in our application or rather than to cut completely what I to not to spend so much of the budget. I'm suspecting that to get the question by promotion is also spoiler. Recommend my last and that's it.
Chair, where a person actually resides in the place where the oversight is happening, I think that person then shouldn't use we should use their entitlement personally. So like for this trip now, our actual oversight, and I've just been asked whether I'll be flying to Cape Town to Joburg, but you know, I think what my involvement should be from Joburg to wherever, not from Cape Town to Joburg. When it comes to the Natal, when it comes to this the national match, the same thing applies. A person that's really in the, a person that comes from KwaZulu-Natal, maybe that they're daring not to move from our seat alone. So does that change the budget anyway? Does that cut down for the budget? Is it going to help anyway?
Yeah, I think you know, we can simplify this by establishing the number of members of the team so they can actually attend the game. Once we have those numbers, we can then establish whether it makes financial sense to cover any part of their cost if possible. What we can then do is to get who wants to attend, make a decision for the tickets available. Once you establish the number, then determine who you know would be in the province at that time so that they can use their own entitlements to get there and come out of course. Otherwise, we wouldn't other people have progress on this.
No, no,
we
can have progress. We don't want to take an informed decision of the committee. It's right that we must put all the options in the committee in order that the next time the committee has got no clue for what has been happening. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that I suppose because I mean we cannot write because quality. They won't allow that we all go there. The second thing is that I would prefer that wherever we got members, prioritize those people because the cost will come down. But considering when you are to come from this, it might still be a problem. I find that when there will be low cost because it will just be cheap. So I think that's how we should look at it. Prioritize again dealing with issues that really trouble our portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
To go and watch it, Bafana, we can watch them on TV. And then if for instance we the rest is going to take it there, then we will know that the mums home. And then the chairperson, because we represent that all the time, we will all question that so that we ensure that we don't reach. Because you know, authority measures, it means even ourselves will not contribute to what the austerity measure. So my take really is that let's ensure that it's ourselves and then get the tickets for Mount Bromo and I think today we will have Jika. Jika is from that other place, it's not from Kate, it's from Matake. So it's only two members and it's only the chapter that who there will be a cost, but in terms of the amount of it's a team. And it's also a little measure.
We were trying to push out the an opening again. We were trying to minimize this
I think we can just close this by come up with a solution. I think if there are tickets and those who want to go there by themselves, they can do arrangements for marketing, accommodation and the transport. If so. Because we cannot offer the right to the children and people can go there, and others can go there. We also want to go there. If there are some means that we can get tickets, we can do arrangements by ourselves.
Thank you. Actually, because there are more on my opinion, like you said, and I understand, you know, the children might not want to be alone there, but I think, you know, that suggestion there is works well. What we can then do going forward is to say if there are invitations to national events where there are specific provinces where members are from, then prioritize those. There will be a committee organization there, which is what I think we want most. But that is the one that's being moved on our support to the left.
And those who want to go, those who need tickets in order that we must get the tickets. And the question of the restriction I've raised is that at least honorable members must be in the presidential seat, not invited and switching without users, not in the So I'm suspecting that if the point was taken, I spoke to the president of Israfa because those teachers were from the president of Israfa, but administrative issues, he was not involved. Because remember, when I invited, I did his guest. So I'm suspecting we short that. But now, also members get the names of members who want to go and will be responding for sharing that we want him member and the partner, those who have partners. But the other we go alone, but we still have sons and
Chair, I'll just give you an apology if I can be sent as the delegate to the South African Virgin Islands in the Irish Islands. Just as another thing, remember the annual performance plan of the commission has been created for the panel, but perhaps next people then have to look at it. You realize that still towards the end of the year. So I think especially that will be relevant is quarter 3 and quarter 4 and just for today.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank you.